Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public. Welcome back.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
You may have heard that Spider-Man is dead. Actually, Peter Parker, his alter ego, is. Parker's death was written into a Marvel comic last month, and that's caused quite an uproar among fans. So much so that the comic book author, Dan Slott, initially received death threats. This past weekend on NPR, Slott talked about Spider-Man's unique superhero status.
What Stan Lee and Steve Ditko did when they came up with Spider-Man and Amazing Fantasy 15 was they broke the mold. They made a hero who was like us, a hero with feet of clay, a guy who made mistakes all the time.
But Spider-Man has died before. In fact, last year, and other superhero alter egos such as Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne have died before too. So, why the uproar? Our next guest says that these superhero stories reveal something about what audiences want to believe about death and resurrection. Joining us in the studio is our comic book expert, A. David Lewis, whose recent doctoral dissertation was on superhero mortality. David, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's back up for a second. How does Spider-Man die?
Here's the trick that Marvel did this time. Like you said, superheroes die fairly often. What's the big deal now? The big deal now is that Spider-Man continues on. The body of Spider-Man continues on. But the mind inside that body is the supervillain, Dr. Octopus. So what we have is a death of an alter ego. We have the superhero going on, but now drastically redefined. And he vows, as Peter dies in Dr. Octopus's body, to honor him and become, and Dan Slott's writing this title, a superior Spider-Man.
Huh. Now this, of course, there's tons of symbolism here that we could theorize about. But let's just remind folks of Doc Ock or Dr. Octopus for a second. He's a mad scientist who invents mechanical arms that get fused into his body in a nuclear accident. And we have a clip of Alfred Molina as Doc Ock in the 2004 film Spider-Man 2.
Peter Parker.
And the girlfriend.
What do you want?
I want you to find your friend, Spider-Man. Tell him to meet me at the West Side Tower at 3 o'clock.
Well, I don't know where he is.
Find him, or I'll peel the flesh off her bones.
So, yikes. I mean, Doc Ock is a bad guy. He's a really bad guy. Is it going to be too much of a stretch to have him be the next Spider-Man? Spider-Man?
Yeah, the superior Spider-Man. That's going to be, of course, for readers to decide. One saving grace here is that various storylines over the years have gotten to humanize Doc Ock. In the end of the movie, he sacrifices himself for the greater good, and perhaps the comic book character has that same potential.
Now, what do you think it says? Let's talk about some of the messages. Because what do you think it says that the bad guy becomes sort of the good guy, or at least has a chance to be, and the good guy's leaving in the bad guy's body, essentially? And what does that say about why right now we're writing this storyline for Spider-Man, for a superhero? And what are we trying to say about redemption of people? Or what is the message there?
There are two messages that I take away from all these superhero deaths. The first one is that American audiences are pretty scared of death. We need to see our heroes practice it and defeat it, sort of a denial of death. But the one that we're seeing more prominently here, the second idea, is that no one is beyond redemption, that any character can suffer a loss, can do great evil, and still have the opportunity to reform. We have a whole list of what we would call superhero characters that started off as supervillains. In the movie The Avengers, the Hawkeye, the Archer, was originally a supervillain. Often the Hulk is portrayed as an anti-hero or somewhat villainous or a path of destruction. So these this genre, the superhero genre, reifies, keeps restating that we have the opportunity to rebuild ourselves, redeem ourselves, and literally or figuratively resurrect ourselves.
But isn't there sort of a line then you have to walk so as not to cheapen the superhero? Because how special are you if even your arch rival can then become you, right? I mean, that's
a fabulous point. And I think it is one of the crucial conflicts within the superhero genre. Not to get too egg-headed, but...
about comic books.
About comic books. No. There's plenty of egg-headedry about comic books to be done. But I will say that theorist Umberto Eco once pointed out that Superman, not Spider-Man, Superman has a major conflict, and that is how can he remain superheroic and age, degrade, get older. And if you notice, Superman never gets older. They keep on reinventing the character. They keep on making him vital. This is the key issue for any superhero. How do you keep on looking like you're having adventures, getting older, accumulating experience, and yet constantly reboot yourself? Because of this crisis in the genre, because of this problem that superheroes have, they can get away with exactly what you were talking about. They can get away with dying without cheapening, reinventing without feeling permanently changed. There's a malleability and a flexibility that the superhero genre takes full advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Why do we need superheroes?
One reason we need superheroes is that they're our modern mythology. We need to play out our fears and our fantasies through superheroes. Superheroes are the 20th century's best hope of narrative longevity. Right now, they seem to be adapting to time periods and generational shifts really, really well. Of course, time will tell. But yeah, it would be one of my top nominations for a genre that will outlive us.
Do you believe that Peter Parker's death really is permanent this time, as Marvel Comics suggests, or do you think that it's just going to keep going in some other iteration, especially because there is an awful lot of money involved?
Oh, no, Deb, you figured it out. Oh, no. Yeah, I actually do believe that things will reset, as they always have. He'll come back. He'll be back. What's interesting is this moment, is this narrative move, is this test of the character. It doesn't matter to me, and I don't think it matters to a number of readers that this will potentially be undone. It's the journey there and sort of the thoughts and experience that we're challenged by in the interim.
Maybe that's another message as well, huh?
Absolutely.
That's another reason. Okay, well, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Always a pleasure.
A. David Lewis contributed to the upcoming book, What is a Superhero? You can read an excerpt at our website, hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. Our producers include Lynn Menegon, Hitesh Hathi, Kevin Sullivan, Emiko Tamagawa, Catherine Gorman, Rachel Gottbaum, Alex Ashlock, and Cassandra Sunt. Our technical director is Doug Sugertz, Chris Ballman is the managing editor, and the senior producer of Here and Now is Kathleen McKenna. I'm Deborah Becker. Please join us again. Here and Now.